Hi, and welcome to the Reiki from the Farm podcast, brought to you by me, Pam Allen LeBlanc from Hidden Brook Farm. I am a scientist, a businesswoman, and a licensed Reiki master teacher with the International Center for Reiki Training. Each week in this podcast, you'll be entertained as you learn about a wide variety of relevant Reiki topics, helping you become a more knowledgeable and effective Reiki practitioner. We caution you, though, this podcast may also dramatically improve your life, and we are so happy that you're here. On this week's podcast, I am talking with licensed Reiki master teacher Karen Keg, and Reiki master and professional organizer Shanley Tenike. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for having us.
It's so nice to have you here. Just to tell you a little bit about Karen, she is a Reiki master teacher with the ICRT. She's been teaching Reiki since 2013 and retired from teaching college English to pursue her Reiki career full-time. And she teaches students and clients all over the world. Shanley is a Tampa-based professional organizer and a member of the National Association of Productivity and Organizing Professionals. She also has experience as a contained home organizer with the Container Store, and she's also a Reiki master and a certified personal stylist, specializing in curating wardrobes. Welcome, Shanley.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Oh, it's so nice to have you guys here. I have been wanting to do a podcast about this for a while. Before we begin, I just wanted to let you know that I've got a full lineup of courses on the website in both May and July. Level 1 and 2, Masters, Karuna Reiki Masters, Animal Reiki, and even Animal Communication. They're both in the Atlantic time zone, so hop on over there and check that out if you're interested. And also, the Tuesday after Easter, we're doing a deep dive into past lives, and I'll be providing the participants with not only some additional information that's been coming in on past lives lately, but also with three different meditations that you can use with your own clients and students. So if that appeals to you, hop on over to the website as well. And it's called Just That, Deep Dive into Past Lives. I'm also putting a link in the podcast. Karen, have you got some interesting things coming up? I expect you do.
Well, yes. If you go to my website, reiki-institute.com, you will find my schedule of classes. I am also offering Reiki 1 and 2, Reiki Master, and Karuna Reiki Master in July. And I also have some opportunities for individual and small group coaching on business. And Shanley and I tell everybody what we have coming up starting April the 2nd.
Sure. April 2nd and every Friday thereafter in the month of April, we're going to be talking all about Karen and her journey through her KonMari-ing tidying session. So we'll cover one of each of the categories each week, and she'll reflect and share why it's been an experience and what kind of an experience it's been.
It's been a life-changing experience. It's more than just tidying up, I can guarantee you that.
Yeah. So I'm super excited to do that. So you can look at either my webpage or Karen's webpage, and I'm at shanleytenike.com. And both of us have Facebook pages as well. You can find either of us there. And I'm also super happy to offer a package discount to all of Pam's listeners or Karen's listeners as well.
Yes.
So just use the code HORSE7 because Pam's favorite number is 7. So we're going to do a code of HORSE7 for a 10% discount off of my packages.
That's great, Shanley. Oh, and also if you are on Clubhouse, I know it's only available to iPhone users, but Shanley and I have in the works to do a weekly Reiki KonMari talk and question and answer. So we haven't decided the exact date on that, but you can find me at Reiki Club on Clubhouse.
You also probably do private consultations. So people, would they just reach out to you through your website for that?
Yep, absolutely. My direct booking link is on my webpage and you can pick any of the services. I do a free consultation and then we'll move forward and figure out which package would best work for you and your situation.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much. And thanks so much for being here today. I wonder, again, before we begin, if we could do a brief invocation and allow everybody to bring their Reiki symbols in today and get in the frame of mind for this talk. So I'm going to invite everyone to close your eyes and take a deep breath and activate your Reiki energy. And if you have symbols, bring them in now. Invite them to be in the room with you. Invite them to flow into your body on your breath. Take a moment to let go of everything you have to think about later. This moment and this podcast is about you and for you. It's to give yourself an opportunity to reconnect with you, your soul, your spirit, source. And we're so glad that you're here. It's true, as they say, that your outer world always reflects your inner world. And we're so happy that you've joined us for this deep dive into decluttering. As we declutter our inner world, our outer world, sometimes with a little help, can then be transformed to reflect our own inner beauty. And so in this podcast today, we connect with our inner beauty, remembering how beautiful we are. And when we create from a space of beauty, that is what we create. Ahom Atakweoasam. Namaste and Amen. Ashe. And so it is. Thank you. I am going to start off just asking Shanley how you got involved with Marie Kondo and decluttering, and how's Reiki fit into all of that?
So I've been an organized person my whole life. I remember organizing my Barbie dolls instead of playing with them. I would hang up their clothes, and I just would love to go to my neighbor's house because she had the Barbie dream house. And that was a big deal because it came with hangers and furniture that I could arrange. It was just so magical to me. I remember organizing my sister's closets. I have three sisters, and it got to the point where I would be the one who had the rainbow order closet. And I would, you know, encourage them. That's maybe a better way for their closet to be as well. That was before I learned that maybe my way is not the way, that there are multiple ways of doing things. And growing up, I was always just the person who knew where everything was. But I also enjoy teaching people. So I don't always want to be the one that their kids call while they're at work and like, Mom, where's my whatever? And so instead, I would teach them to have a system about where their things were and to keep them in a logical place and what made sense for them. So just because you're right-handed doesn't mean you want all your things on the left-hand side of the desk or vice versa. You think about how you pick up a phone depending on which hand you are. So let's rearrange the rest of your desk according to you. And that changes per person. And so it's an interesting way to manage your life and coordinate your own energy and make it flow as easily and as gracefully as you can by being organized. You were saying that we can bring beauty into our lives through organization, and it's also about joy. Yes. And that's what resonates so strongly with me with the Kamari method, is that it combines Reiki and the Japanese idea of simplicity and joy, basically only having things that spark joy in your life. And so that's why I love keeping all of these as tools in my tool belt. I'm a professional organizer who does Reiki, who does Kamari, who also is a personal stylist. So it's not everybody wants to be Kamari, but I use the principles of those things with all of my clients, regardless of if they know it or not. So I've just always been this way, to long story short. I was born this way.
In Marie Kondo's book, she said the same thing, that from a very young age is what she absolutely loved to do. And I remember when I first became aware of KonMari, we watched a program on TV, and the particular program we started with probably wasn't the best one because my husband is really neat and I get emotionally attached to things, and he has no emotional attachment. He gets rid of stuff if I'm not looking. And so our house was pretty good, and I noticed that every time I would go and do a Reiki class, I'd come home and do a big decluttering. And I started to recognize that there was a correlation between internal clutter and external clutter. And I literally would look around my house before going to class and say, I have got the best house. This house is beautiful. It's perfect. And I would come home from class and the very next day go, where did all this clutter come from? And so my husband knew, if I'm going to a Reiki class, the couch is going to be full of stuff to take to the thrift store afterwards. And it came to a big head in January of 2019. We really had the house, we thought, the way we liked it. It was always a little too cluttery for my husband. And we watched the Marie Kondo programs on Netflix. We had just discovered them. We watched the one, and it was a really cluttery house that they had featured that time, and my husband couldn't stand it. He had to turn it off. He, oh my God, I can't believe people live this way. I have to turn this off. But then as I was heading out to work on the animal Reiki, I was just starting my licensed teacher program and doing my first review classes with Colleen Benelli. So I was heading to Portland, Oregon, and sometimes my nudges come as something that comes in front of me two or three times. So through Facebook or an email or something. And KonMari kept coming in front of me. And I was like, what are you talking about? My house is very tidy. I'm not like the ones in the shows. We don't need that. But it kept coming. So finally I said, fine. And in the evenings, once we were finally done, we were listening to the energy, creating the animal Reiki class. It was a lot of beautiful work, but it was also pretty intense. But in the evenings and after class, I was there for a week. I started watching the KonMari programs, and it started getting me all fired up. And I started to realize that I had let go of so much internal clutter doing the animal Reiki and doing the first courses of my ICRT licensed teacher program. I realized, oh, there is clutter in my house. And I couldn't wait to get home and get at my closets. So I actually downloaded the book at the airport, read the book on the flight home, and I hit the ground. Anyway, my husband never saw anything like that before. It was a process. It took, because I would have some time to devote to it, and then I'd have to back off for a bit. But the closet, I got done right away and couldn't believe how great that felt. And then I worked through, but I'm curious, Karen, what led you down this path? As you're one of my favorite people, we've known each other for a while now. And what got you started with this?
It's probably Reiki. I think I am one of those people that, I guess, Shanley, it's pretty bad and it was pretty cluttery. So my journey has been, as a child, we moved a lot. I had a lot of painful stuff. And I've realized through this process with Shanley, this has not just been tidying my house. This has been like deep emotional work.
Absolutely.
I realized that through my entire life. So we've uncovered things that I've had since I was like 7 or 8.
Wow.
And it appears that my habit has been, this is too painful. I will put this away. I know it's something important, but it's too painful. I can't deal with this. And so I put it away and I moved it. Just for an example, last week, finally, I opened a suitcase of my dad's that I have been carrying around. I have moved twice since then. I have brought this suitcase with me for 10 years. I have carried this suitcase and I was terrified to open it.
Wow.
Absolutely terrified.
Yeah. So to your question, about is that normal? That's completely normal. Okay.
That makes me feel better because
Yeah, the point of people reaching out to me is that they need the help. So if you're able to do it yourself, like you, Pam, you were able to do it yourself. So you didn't need to reach out, although you reached out in the form of watching the show and reading the book.
Yeah.
And that was the level of assistance you needed. Some people need additional assistance. They just can't do it themselves. And so those people are the ones who reach out to me. So those people are all normal to me. But you have to know that this, like Pam, you read the book, you watched the show. That's you learning how to do this. So just because you weren't born this way, quote unquote, like me, you can learn how to be an organized person or how to tidy up or how to make choices about your items. This is what Karen and I are working on now. And you have to also understand that the reason that it works so well for me to work with clients in this particular field, and I'm normalizing Karen's behavior only because I've seen worse. Okay. I've seen very much worse. I've been trained as a hoarding specialist.
Okay.
And Karen is not a person who has a hoarding tendency. All of my clients ask that, am I the worst you've ever seen? And they're not. 99.9% of them are not. Okay. Because I know there's always been worse, but I want to normalize anybody who's listening or watching today that what you are is normal. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you can learn how to make your life better. You can watch, you can read, you can listen. So Karen, please share
what I love about what Shanley has done with me is, and she's in Tampa and I'm in Arkansas. So we're doing this through Zoom, and man, she doesn't miss a thing. She'll be like, okay, now I saw you put that. What is that over there? No, over there to the left. Yes. What is that you put down on the floor? And I'm like, what?
What, there, as she slides it under the bed.
Yeah, she doesn't miss the thing and she makes me deal with it. But this is what I have done for 50 something years is I'm like, I can't deal with this. I'll just put this to the side. And I know it's something important that I need to process and I need to deal with. And Pam, you mentioned that you were emotional about things.
Mm.
So this has been me learning a new way of living. And she's teaching me how to deal with my emotions and feel my feelings. Oh, this morning. So we had a session this morning. And I said, by the way, because we were talking and I was going through sentimental items. I said, by the way, I threw away a Christmas card from my dad that didn't even say anything. Did you see that? And she said, did you? I said, I did. Just, oh, thank you and goodbye. And so she's gotten in my head. I hear her all the time, the gift is in the giving, because somebody gives me something, and I'm, but they gave this to me. She says, but do you need to keep it? Can you remember this person? I don't know. And the good thing is that she set goals for me at the beginning. She says, what do you want to create? Mm-hmm. So the KonMari process, you start with clothes, which is supposed to be the easiest. And I'm sentimental about clothes. Like, this is the dress I wore in Paris. Can you remember being in Paris with your son without the dress? I don't know. Yeah. I'm like, now I'm too fat for this. And she says, you're not too fat. It just doesn't fit you anymore. But she's taught me how to focus on, is this moving me forward? Does this spark joy? Or am I just keeping this for, you don't know why? It's like, why do you have that? I don't know. So it's really retraining my brain. But I don't think I could have gotten to this point without Reiki healing so much inside. It's interesting you said it was January of 2019. I think that's after that third upgrade on Holy Fire Energy.
And it
I
was.
Know that, like, that was a huge healing shift for me. And I guess I was just finally ready, but I knew I couldn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
My best friend said, are you sure you have to hire somebody? Can't you just do it? I'm like, no, if I could have done it, I would have done it 20 years ago. I can't do it. And so this has been really just gut-wrenching at times. I'm so glad. She'll hold her hands up in the triangle over his like judgment-free zone. It's a judgment-free zone. Cause I'm like crying, snot coming out of my nose. And I'll look up sometimes after just sobbing because I never know what's going to trigger me, those things. And I'll just sob and I'll look over and she's holding her Reiki hands up and I feel that. And I'm like, okay, I feel all right. I'm okay. I remember telling her once, I said, I think it was after the kitchen, Shanley. I said, this is amazing. I said, I don't remember a time in my life where I could see everything. So I didn't put anything far back. I had to like crawl down and pull things that I had just shoved to the back of the cupboards in the kitchen. And I said, and it's a metaphor for my life. I have just shoved things to the back and you don't see them, but they're there. So my mind is like a bad neighborhood. I don't know what's hiding around the next corner. My kitchen cupboards are terrifying. I don't know what's in there.
Yeah.
Is it some sort of a memory from my childhood? Is it? I don't know. So well, it's been just hugely changing. I'm sorry.
No, but I
go on and on.
Not at all. It probably is. You just said, is it some memory from my childhood? And I remember you always had enough to eat, but barely at times. And so it probably is. And the cupboards.
And that's part of it too. That poverty mentality. Shanley, do you think you might be able to buy another pair of leggings? Maybe. I don't know.
I think you have this idea of, I might need it. I have to keep it in case. What if I can never afford them again? Yeah. Do you think you could buy another pair of shoes? Probably. Okay. Thank you and goodbye.
Here's the thing. Sometimes the answer is no, because it's too valuable. It's too sentimental. It's too whatever.
Yeah.
It's perfect for what you need. And that's okay. The answer can be no. The mm-hmm. answer can be yes. Whatever is the answer for you is the right answer. And I'm not here to make you get rid of things. I'm here to have you think about what you're keeping and keep things with intention. So if you need a staple remover, if you need one of those, that's great. Is my favorite color brown? No. Maybe I could go find one in blue. That's my favorite color. Why not do that instead? So the idea behind the process of the Kumari process, and I'll just do it briefly so that people will understand what we're going through, is there's five stages, and you're going to start with clothing, then go to books, then paper, and then kimono, which means miscellaneous in Japanese, and then you end with sentimental. And the idea of working through the process in this order is because most people are not sentimentally attached to their clothes. And if they are, then they become sentimental items, like your graduation gown or your wedding gown or your kids' christening. Then they become sentimental, and we put that decision off until the last category. And that's okay, because what happens is you strengthen your choosing muscle by going through the process in 1 through 5, starting with clothes, because most people have so many pairs of jeans, they just don't know what to do with them, and they're definitely not wearing them. So let's find the ones. And this is where the second tool in my tool belt comes out as a certified personal stylist. I say, okay, what's the best pair for you and for your body? Because if you have a little bit more in the back area, you're going to want pockets that sit higher up. Whereas if you have less of stuff in the back area, a little less in the tush, you want pockets with bling on them to draw attention to that area. And so it's just the little subtle things like that will bring joy to your life in a different way than the next person, than the next client, than the previous client. And so each client is individually dealt with in their own way, because your life is different than her life, is different than his life. And so that's where the Reiki energy comes in as well, because you ask for the energy to bring the right and perfect outcome to that situation, not to the world, but to that situation. And so the idea here is people come to me in a state of transition. Mm-hmm. And that's where Karen is right now. So Karen moved, she followed her son who went off to college. She's a single mom. So before, he used to live in her home with her, and then he moved off to college. So she had her home set up in a way that accommodated her son. She's now storing all of his baby's things and his childhood memories. And so at that point, what happens is we need to decide, what's your goal? So we started out with a goal of wanting a travel wardrobe, and that's great. What we came to within a few sessions was that she wants to be a strong, successful businesswoman. Mm-hmm. And so all decisions from then on were focused on, does that item move you towards being a strong, successful businesswoman? And if the answer was yes, then you keep it with confidence. If the answer is no, we're going to think about why you're keeping it. I'm not asking you to get rid of it. I'm just asking you to think about why you're keeping it.
Right.
And if it brings you joy, then we're keeping it. But if it doesn't, then maybe you should let it go. And so that's how our sessions go, is consideration of sparking joy or not, and moving you towards your goal or not.
And I think it's mindfulness, which is also part of Reiki. Yes. And this is really a little embarrassing to admit, but I had never really question why I was keeping things. I remember in one session, I'm not going to use the exact language because sometimes my language would get bad during sessions, but I'd say like, when did I become the keeper of everybody's ish? I had my son's this, and I have my stepdad's that, and my dad's this, and my mother's this. And or when Shanley started asking me these questions, I don't think I've ever in my life decorated my house for me.
Yeah.
I think it's always been for someone else.
And that's one of the lovely things about it, isn't it, Karen? Like, I noticed it wasn't, oh, this doesn't fit me anymore, or I don't like that anymore. It was, does this give me joy? No. And I love the process of, then I'm going to thank it for the joy it did bring me. And I'm going to send it on so it can bring somebody else joy. I loved that process. I remember my grandmother, when she passed, she and my grandfather had taken a 4-story home and put it into an apartment. And he passed away shortly after that. And what that poor woman had crammed into that apartment. And one of the things that made me really sad, and that's what stayed with me, is she had all of these beautiful dishes, crystal and just gorgeous things, and never, ever used them. The dishes she used were mismatched and not nice. And I thought they should have gone in a yard sale. And all of that beautiful crystal. So I remember from that moment, I said, I'm using that crystal. Like, it's been sitting in somebody's china cabinet for years. And there's no need of that. I'm using that.
Shanley made me do that too. That was another one of the, I've had many crying jags through the process. But one was like, don't you deserve to have the nice thing? I'm like, I don't know. Do I? And then I go, yeah, maybe I do. I think I am going to use this, by golly.
I can't think of anybody who deserves it more than you, Karen.
It was such a process. And since you were talking about your grandparents, another part of doing this, I have told Shannon, I am so grateful that we are doing this because I have had some health issues. I thought, if I drop dead as a doornail, my poor son is going to have to come in here and wade through all this stuff and try to sort through it. Now he'll know that the stuff that's left in my house, the stuff that I really cared about and loved, and I have systems. Shanley has taught me systems. Like, when we find something now, I was like, oh, it's a tax document, and it was like, oh, I know where this goes because I have made a place for it. Oh, look, another stapler. Thank you and goodbye, because I have one already.
It brings so much simplicity, though, doesn't it? And clarity. I remember I thought it was normal, and I still think it might be, but I would have summer clothes that I would put into a cedar chest and then bring out my winter clothes. And so twice a year, there was always this exchange. But I was doing so much traveling to teach, and I was traveling so much to southern climes in the winter, and it was such a pain to have to dig through the cedar chest. And when I finished the clothing, it was remarkable. I don't have a big walk-in closet. I live in an old country home, but I have a decent-sized closet. And everything fit in the one closet when it was done. And not only that, but you could find everything. So then you start dressing better, and you feel a little bit better about how you dress. And then that carries on. And I've even found it's carried on into my diet. I'm starting to simplify. I've simplified the diet and eating a lot healthier food. Now, if I could only get my husband, that's the one place is the cupboards, and they're so full and the fridge is so full. I'm like, oh my gosh. And he does all the cooking, but I can't find anything. And so I'm going to see if he'll listen to this episode and maybe tackle that.
That's a common issue with clients, is that they go into things wanting their spouse or their kids or whoever to change. And so the way that Marie focuses on that is focus on yourself first, lead by example, essentially. And so if you do it, your kids are going to see you doing it, or your spouse is going to see you doing it. And then the ripple effect will continue on, and then they'll be able to see how much faster you get dressed in the morning, how much more beautiful you look because you've selected things that bring you joy to put on your body. And who doesn't love looking great in their clothes? Why would you keep orange when orange looks horrible? So the idea behind that is deal with yourself, deal with your own energy, then your positive energy goes out. And that's where Reiki comes back in as well.
I love that. I'm glad we're doing this, though, because I know I was looking at things going, it's probably time for a revisit. It's been a couple of years, and I think it's time for a little revisit because I haven't really done a lot since 2019. And the closet's fitting and it's still nice, but I think it's time for a little bit of a shuffling around. But there were a couple areas I could never get to. I could never get to the shed with all the horse tack and the basement. Although my husband and I did start on the basement this year, and there's one corner of one room that I couldn't get to. So it'll be nice. I think maybe you'll inspire me to revisit some areas and to get those. But it isn't all that hard to keep up. I was really surprised at that. But I also love how it taps into the energy of the home, asking, what do you want to look like? One area that surprised me recently is that I've been guided to grow my Reiki practice, especially since COVID. The feeling that everybody needs Reiki that I had because I was in the Heathrow Airport when borders were closing and all of that. You remember, Karen? And I remember. Thank you. And my Reiki room looks pretty good, but I got the really distinct message. You want to grow your business, but look at under your Reiki desk. It's still cluttered. And I'm wanting to lose weight, but look at the gym. It's really cluttered. So just this past January, I tackled the gym and I tackled under my Reiki desk and it all looks beautiful now. So it's interesting. You can even, sometimes there's little areas that slipped, didn't get covered the first time. But if you want to grow your business, get rid of the clutter came in really strongly. Wow. What about you, Karen? How far did you get?
We started on December 20th and we have done 106.
I think we're on 106 yet now.
106 hours.
And just for the listeners, Karen is a single woman who lives by herself. Okay. 106 hours later.
Oh, I believe that.
But it's 50-something years of memories that I've been hanging on to.
We reached sentimental in the last two sessions. So it's sometimes difficult to understand or to know where kimono ends and sentimental begins, because so many things that you have, like your pictures on your wall, really are sentimental, but they're also decoration. Mm-hmm. So that's a combination of both, right? So what category do we put that under? And the idea is that I love what you said about there's still some sort of stagnant energy sitting there. And the idea is that when you go through the process, it frees up the energy as you go. So that way, what you do is you create the space over here to be able to allow you to focus on those other things. I want to lose weight goals, yeah. The I want to dress better goals, the I want to spend more time on my business goals. So you clear all that negative energy out, and that opens up the space for the good energy to come in and help support you. It's also so much easier because, Pam, now that you can get dressed in 1 minute flat instead of 10 minutes, you're not wasting that 9 minutes on thinking about something that's truly unimportant, right? Yeah. So you have clothes in your closet that look amazing on you. This is why Steve Jobs wore the same thing every single day. It's called decision fatigue. Right. So having to think about what to wear is such a tiresome thing for your head. And yes, I get you need to dress the part. Executive presence is huge. You show up looking the way that you want to be perceived, okay? Mm-hmm. That's an important detail. Especially for younger listeners, show up looking the way you want to be perceived, not like the intern with a backpack on, unless you're working at a company where that's appropriate. What you do is you stop thinking about all of those extra things, the 10 extra books that are sitting on your nightstand, the 20 extra things in your kitchen, because you just haven't thought about expiration dates in a while. They're there for a reason, right? So the idea is free up all of that extra energy so that you can then focus on your goals, which is for a successful, powerful businesswoman for Karen. For Pam, it's working on my weight, working on my business, working on my horses. And so the idea is let it go to open up space.
Yeah.
Transition. It's that time of transition again. Yeah. And then learning how to do it as you go.
And just, I guess it's a huge... It's like a switch flipped in my mind.
Is it?
And and like she said, I don't know, because I'm not having to think about where is that. As we've been going through, I'll find five of one thing because I had lost it. Yeah. I'm going by another one. And I just think differently about things. And everything is more intentional. Grocery shopping. Here's one unexpected result is I love doing laundry and folding my clothes. I always hated that.
Really?
But to do the KonMari folding and the love hands, the love iron hands and smoothing it out, it's just, and that's very in line with Reiki, like just being very mindful and then folding them up and like, where do you want to be? And put them in the drawer. And I open my drawer and they're all lined up. And I'm like, who would think I would like laundry? Good grief. But I do. I look forward to it.
Karen, can I tell them about your three colanders?
Yeah, go ahead.
So part of what Karen was, I call it ostriching. When you hide your head and you put things away and you don't deal with them. Karen was ostriching for sure in her kitchen. And so limited mobility also will determine the way that we set up your spaces. And so Karen has problems reaching high spaces and low spaces. And so what we needed was we sort of like knee height up to shoulder height with all her entire kitchen. And really those spaces up above need to be empty and the spaces down below need to be empty because she can't get there. Exactly. So as we were going through the cupboards, stuffed in the back of that deep cupboard that everybody has, that's sort of back in the back, we found the first colander. And then we got to the second colander up on the top shelf of another cupboard. And then the third colander was in that cupboard over there. Just the funniest thing, because I said, okay, so, you know, let's just think about the fact that you're a single woman living by yourself. Do you use a colander frequently? And the answer was not really. And I said, okay, so maybe can we think about the fact that maybe one colander could be enough instead of three for a single woman living by herself? Yes. Okay, great. We move forward with that. Okay, so here is where I'm going to reflect. This is the mirror of me listening. The first colander, you said you didn't even know it was there. You had no idea it even existed in your home. Okay. I'm thinking we can probably say thank you and goodbye to that one. Number two, the other one was so high up in a cupboard, you literally couldn't reach it. You knew it was there, but you had to go get a stool to get it out. Okay, great. That's a maybe. Third colander was, when she pulled the third colander out of the cupboard, she giggled and laughed hysterically. It was yellow. It was one of those Tupperware ones that everybody had from back in, you know, in the day. And she just giggled and laughed hysterically. She said, was it the dog or the cat?
The dog chewed it.
The dog chewed it. And she giggles and laughs like this. And I said, okay, this is the one that sparks joy. Even though the dog chewed on the handle, I don't care. I'm going to encourage you to keep that one because you think it's hysterical. And so why not keep that one? It's so easy to give guidance with Karen. And so the faces, I'm seeing a face you're making there. So let's talk about that. And it was, so the idea there is if you've got three of the same thing and you're not storing like with, which is my number one tip, store like with, that way you have 10 black t-shirts instead of them being all in different places. Only keep as many as you need and keep the ones that spark joy.
Yeah.
Even if it's chewed on by the dog.
Even if it's like chewed that. On by the dog.
I like that.
Laugh.
I like that. Karen, what was the hardest thing for you through all of this?
Oh God, all of it.
All of it? It was hard.
I don't know, Shanley. What was the hardest part, do you think, from your perspective?
So when we started with clothing, it was so cute. She's just, I love clients. I love them. I love my job. And so we got through clothing day number one. And then the next day she texted me and she said, okay, I have to tell you, I'm a little anxious about going on to books because I have so many books and I really love books. And I said, okay, we'll talk about that later. But number two, we're not going on to books today. We still have more clothes to do. So there was a bit of a re-education opportunity. This was not going to be a 5-day, 5-session situation with one day per category.
Oh, I couldn't even imagine that.
This is a 3-hour minimum session, okay? And so for 3 hours, we worked on some of her clothes. I think we had 3 clothing sessions.
Yeah.
Then there was jewelry. Then there was shoes. Then there was accessories.
This is a long time.
This is like 18, 20-something hours just in the first category, just in the first category. And so that relieved some of the pressure of getting to books, which was her angsty thing. And I said, here's the thing. I'm going to say books for you are sentimental.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the books that you have no emotional attachment to.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what she would do. She would take her book and she would decide whether or not we were dealing with it then by smelling it. And if it smelled really great, it became a sentimental book because it sparked happiness in her heart, but she wasn't going to be able to make a decision about it quite yet. And that's okay too. And so I will tell you that by the time we worked through the entire book category, she had dealt with all of her books. Because again, you strengthen your choosing muscle as you go. And so she was able to have some of those deep emotions within each of the sessions, because you strengthen as you go. And what you do is that non-judgmental safe space for you, so that you feel like you can go through some of the sentimental earlier than you do. We're actually starting sentimental now, and there was less tears now than there have been thus far. And so I would say books for Karen were probably the most sentimental, because they were so wrapped up in who she was, but not who she's going to be. And so there was a huge release.
Got rid of a lot of books, which is
releases that happened.
So I think that books, that was definitely the hardest.
That was one of my hardest, Karen, and also all my horse DVDs and stuff. I had a lot of very valuable horse stuff, and I couldn't just send it to the thrift shop. So I actually gave it away to my riding students and said, just take whatever you want and send a donation for the horse's hay. And they did that. Crystals was another one. Like, good Lord, how many crystals does one person need? And I realized this house is like probably sinking into the ground. There's so many crystals in this house. So I gave those to my Reiki students and said the same thing. Take whatever you want and just send a donation for the horse's hay. And people loved it. They got some really lovely crystals.
So how did that feel, Pam? How did that feel to pay that forward or pass it along?
Oh, it's amazing. But again, the crystals weren't something that I could send to a thrift shop because I needed to just know that they were going to somebody that appreciated them. But my students loved it. They were, what? We can really have these? Yes, you can have those. I don't need them anymore. And they loved it. And it has freed up so much. It has made life more effortless. I run 3 businesses and I'm trying to write a book. So I do have to have effortless. And I love that it brought that, but I love the joy that it brought too. And are you tapping into that yet, Karen? Are you?
Oh, I am. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I told Shanley, I feel like open space.
Yeah.
Open possibilities can come in when they couldn't before because it was too crowded. I told my brother, I said, apparently I'm really terrified of empty space. Then he started singing that old Pink Floyd song from the 80s, Off of the Wall. I don't know if you know that song, like, what shall we use to fill the empty spaces? Yeah. And I thought, now I want empty space because it's like I can breathe.
Yeah.
I didn't know I couldn't breathe, but I couldn't breathe.
Yeah, I would say she literally couldn't breathe. Like when we first started doing this, she would have to use her inhaler multiple times. And we're down to the point where she's not using
it. I hadn't noticed that.
Literally, she couldn't breathe.
Wow.
You hadn't noticed that, Karen.
Those are the things I notice and feedback, because it's so normal in your mind to have to use your inhaler regularly. And so we'd go through a closet and she'd start gasping for breath and she'd be like, I don't know why I can't breathe. And I'd say, Karen, you're stirring up dust with all of this stuff you've been holding on to for 20, 30 years. The release is so literal and figurative and energetic as well, that all you can do is open up space. And Marie's idea behind filling only 80% of your space and leaving 20% for more new, better, good, happy to come in. That's how you leave just a little bit of wiggle room there. And so, Pam, you were talking about you might have to come back to a couple of your areas, and that's the maintenance area.
Yeah.
And the maintenance idea, and Karen is getting into this now, is one in, one out. Or if you have too much still, and you saw this, Pam, on the Tidying Up with Marie Kondo show, sometimes it's one in, two out, or one in, three out, or one in, four out, until you get to the point where you have 80% of your space filled, or whatever number works for you. Maybe it's 50%. Marie is not a minimalist. It's a common misperception that she's a minimalist. She's not. if that's the way you want to live your life, we're going to make it as joyful as possible. But she doesn't want you to be a minimalist. She doesn't want you to get rid of all your books. She just wants you to keep what you have with confidence. Mm. And so the idea of having maintenance be part of the systems, as Karen was talking about, setting up systems so that when you pick up an item that for some reason is out of place, you know where it goes. That one bag, I have 5 bags of Epsom salts. Great. Not going to buy another bag of Epsom salts when I go to the store next time. Because you know why? They were in 5 different places in my home. A couple of them were in storage cupboards because I brought them over from my business when COVID started. I didn't even know I had them. That kind of a thing. And so it's literally going through every bit of your space and storing like with so that you know how much you have and when you need it again. If you're the kind of person who uses Epsom salt every single day, you might go through 5 bags of Epsom salts pretty quickly. I can guarantee that the person that has 5 bags of Epsom salts doesn't use them that frequently, and she's not going to ever need to buy Epsom salts again in her life. And so now, or like you with the crystals, you say thank you and goodbye. You bless somebody else with all the tack because they can't afford it. For us, it was bike gear. We had a ton of bike gear because my husband ran a bike team. Okay. And so he had tons and tons of bike gear. So we donated it all to a local bike. It's like a shelter, basically, where kids would go and learn how to retool their bikes and things like that. And so we had bikes and bike gear and bike gear. All the bike stuff, like with your horse tack, let it go, bless somebody else with it. But the idea is freeing up the space and maintaining it with a one in, one out system. So now how many halters you have, you don't need to buy any more halters.
No.
Until one breaks.
Yeah.
No, it's on an emotional level. I know that I've always felt like I didn't have control. I didn't have control of my life. And I think that's why I was such a control freak, like trying to control everything. But I knew I didn't have control. And what you said at the very beginning of this podcast about the inner being a reflection of the outer.
Absolutely.
I feel like for the first time, my life is manageable and I can control. Because I can control my stuff in my own home. And I don't want to run away from my home. I actually want to come and like be in it. Not that I don't want to travel, I still want to travel, but not for the same reason. Not
but that's very common with my clients, is so many people avoid their home because they don't like how they feel when they're there.
Wow.
Pam, how often do you go down into your basement where all that stuff is stored?
Not much. No, not much. And it is getting cleaned up, but it's also like an old country basement. So it's not someplace you would go unless you're putting wood in the fire. Yeah.
If you turn it into your she shed, would you go down there?
It's not really that type of a basement.
Okay.
So, but it is true. I don't go out into the shed where I have too much tack very often. But one of the things I have found is just gardening more. You do more. My gardens have never looked so good, and they're so this year's going to be the best ever. And when I could fit all my wardrobe into one, when it was time to travel, I just went to the other section of the closet and pulled things out. It wasn't a big deal to pack anymore. And when I pack, I take less, and it's just filtered over into every area of your life. But there's a mental clarity, isn't there? Like it frees up that mental space, I think. And I have to ask Karen what she's the most proud of, though.
Letting go of my dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or your grandpa.
Oh, my grandpa. I'm actually feeling called to write a book on ancestral healing, and this is part of it. Reiki and this, because I was literally carrying them around and they've been dead for a very long time, and I have been literally carrying their stuff around. I mean, their physical stuff. My dad's underwear. I'm not kidding. Was in the suitcase that I was terrified to open. Maybe that's why. Because I knew it was my dad. Yeah, but it wasn't just, it's all of those painful memories and abandonment issues and blah, blah, blah. All that stuff was in the stuff. And so I avoided the physical stuff because I didn't want to deal with the emotional stuff.
Yeah.
And but I'm most proud of, I really just feel like a new person. I feel that maybe by healing this, I think that I'm helping heal stuff with my son. Sometimes I think, God, I hope I haven't messed him all up. But I think He's going to have a better shot. He's going to have a better shot. Yeah.
It is pretty amazing. Shanley, what tips do you have that you'd like to leave people with today?
Yeah, okay. Like with like, number one. Yeah. Number two, if you have an item and it has a sticker on it, take the sticker off. Because that's, again, with that decision fatigue, your brain has to think about ignoring that sticker every single time you look at it. This is common with plastic tubs. When you get them, the big plastic tubs that you store things in, take the sticker off the side. You're not using it. You don't need to know how big that container is. You bought it for that reason. You already know. Take the sticker off. If you have clothing that you haven't worn yet, own it by cutting the tag off. So that's number two. And that in itself, I think, is such a huge release for people that they just don't even really understand that just take the tag off. That alone by itself has huge lasting ripple effects because it's also a way of owning what you have. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there should be a third. Give me a minute and I'll come up with a third.
Well,
the third is the gift is in the giving. Yes. Okay. And so that's huge because your mom or your best friend or your coworker or whoever gave you an item. You don't like it. You don't want it. It doesn't match your decor. It makes you feel bad. Let's just say it's your dad's underwear that's been sitting there for 10 years. That was brand new in the package still. It wasn't even her dad's old crusty underwear. It was brand new underwear that she donated and gave away. But somebody said she needed to have it, and so she kept it. But the gift is in the giving, and the idea is I give you a gift. It makes me feel really good to give you that gift. Yay, I thought of you. I thought it would be perfect for you. Pam, here you go. Here's your blah, blah. And Pam, you're like, thank you so much for thinking of me. I really appreciate that. Okay, now all ties to that gift are severed. It no longer belongs to me. I don't get to have an opinion about that gift anymore. For those people who are listening, I'm pretending scissor cutting through the air here for the gift tie. The idea here is that I don't get to have an opinion about what you do with your home.
Right.
Okay. It's your space. I'm your mother-in-law. I don't get to have an opinion on that. Thank you for the gift. I will use it accordingly. And that may mean passing it along to somebody else in the form of a thrift store donation. That may mean passing it along to some of my students who I know could use item N, whatever it is. So the gift is in the giving. Release the emotional guilt, frankly, that comes along with that. So here's a perfect example that I love using with Karen and her son. She's doing what this is another tool, Swedish death cleaning. Okay. So Swedish death cleaning.
Really?
So what she's doing is she's prepping for her death. She's prepping her home for her son to have to come in and deal with everything that is there after she passes. Okay. She's being thoughtful about how she engages with her own home from here to the end, whenever that is. And it doesn't matter how long that distance is. She's going to start that maintenance mode of, does this move me towards my goal? Does it spark joy? Is my son going to have to deal with this? So the furniture that she has in her home, let's just say it's oak. He's not an oak man, okay? So she does not need to guilt her son into keeping that furniture because it was a gift from his mother or it belonged to his mother. No, the gift is in the giving. If he doesn't want that and it doesn't match his decor, he is not obligated to keep it. And it's better, let's think about her son. Would Karen, and please respond, Karen, do you want your son to feel guilty about keeping your old underwear for 10 years because it was yours?
No. And we've actually, this has also prompted some conversations with my son. So I'm like, do you want this? Okay. There was this big, huge bridal picture of me. This was like a big dilemma.
Perfect example.
My mother talked me into buying it. Okay. I also realized that I attach a price tag to everything. And I paid like $437 for this portrait. Then my mother said, oh, Karen Renee, you need to buy that. That's just a beautiful picture of you. This was my second marriage. It was miserable. It was horrible. And in the portrait, I think I knew it was going to be horrible. I'm looking off into the distance with this forlorn look. And it's a huge portrait. But I'm thinking, this is me. So I asked my son, I was like, do you want this when I die? He said, no. And I said, really? You don't want this picture of your mother when she's dead? No, Mom, look. He said, look, you look sad in this picture.
And she did. She looked miserable, in fact, in this picture. In fact, this vital picture.
But what the hell do you do with this huge picture of yourself? And so Stanley said, take it off the wall. That doesn't spark joy. You need to take that down right now. So I took it down off the wall. And I tried to give it to everybody. Nobody wanted that big, huge picture of me, including myself.
This was the first session. We're not even dealing with these things right now. We were dealing with clothes. And her response to her walking by it was like the look she gave it was repulsive. Is really the word. I said, what's the deal with that? What? Tell me more about that. Stop, turn around, go back. Tell me more about that. And she explained what it was. And I said, take it down right now. And she hit it. I said, turn it around so that you don't have to see it anymore. And what I want you to do while we're going through those other categories is think about that picture. And so she worked through the whole process.
It took over a month to eventually I realized, no, I don't want it. And nobody wants it. But then I was like, one, it costs a lot of money. So I felt like I was wasting money. I felt guilty about that. And then two, what do you do with it? So I eventually took it to Goodwill and I pulled it out of the car and it was huge. It's this huge portrait. And I pulled it out of the car and said, do y'all take these? And they said, yes, ma'am. And so I gave it to them. And I said, it's me. And I took it away and I got in the car. And I burst into tears because I felt, I'm going to cry now. Yeah. I felt such a release of that whole miserable 9-year marriage and working through. It was funny too. What do you mean you don't want a picture of me? Don't you love me? And then I realized that doesn't have anything. But my agent's like, you look sad in that picture now.
I wouldn't want a picture of you looking sad either, Karen.
What do you do with it?
Nobody wants a picture of her looking sad.
How did you decorate your living room, Aiden? Oh, mom, early mom. She's taking up the wall over there.
Yeah. And so for that reason, the idea behind that is the gift is in the giving. Don't guilt people with your stuff.
Yeah.
Regardless of how emotionally attached you are to your stuff.
He didn't want it.
That was a great process. That picture was epitomized the entire KonMari process right there. She dealt with it on her own time, in her own way, and that's how your whole house should go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And even as I did KonMari, it took some time. I stayed with each category until it was done, and I didn't have a ton of time to devote to it, so it did take some time, but oh, what a beautiful process. And it's so easy to keep everything clean now. I bought a Roomba. You really start treating yourself better. Self-care. You were saying it makes room for things to come in. Self-care came in for me. I'm like the queen of self-care now. It brings so much joy. And Karen, what tips do you have for people before we move into our meditation today?
Just if you're avoiding it, don't let people make you feel guilty, because I felt a little bit guilty when my friend said, are you sure you can't do this by yourself? Because I'm not rolling a dough. And so really, you're going to pay a professional organizer? And it has been the best money I have spent. And I found money. I just sold 2 German clocks this morning for $100. Don't worry about paying somebody to help you. Don't worry about asking for help. Don't let someone make you feel less than because you can't deal with it. And so you just shove it farther back in the cabinet. Just keep going. That has always been my motto. Just keep swimming. I was swimming through the ocean, dragging this huge pile of garbage with me. And it's just cut it loose. Just get some help. Get some help and cut it loose.
I love that. It feels amazing, doesn't it? Guys, thank you so much for being here today. I'm going to move into our meditation now. And in this meditation, the purpose is to do a big internal spring clean, a big internal declutter, which will then help you and assist you in that external declutter. And I really like that tip, Karen. If you need help, get help. And for some people, it might be enough to watch the programs and read the book. But I think it also fantastic to to get help. And there's a few areas I probably could have got some help with too, but anyway, it's coming.
I do individual sessions as well. You don't have to go through the whole process.
There you go. I'll just help get you to help with the tech. Maybe I have asked for help there. Bertina that helps me is, I think, going to sort through the tech. And she meant to do it last year and then COVID happened. So we'll get to it this spring, I think. Guys, thank you so much. I think this is so important, and yeah, I really appreciate it. At this point, though, I always like to ask anybody who's driving if you could just hit pause or pull over to the side of the road or someplace safe, because these meditations sometimes go pretty deep, and we want you to take care of yourself and to stay safe. So I'm just going to invite you to close your eyes and bring your hands into Gassho with your thumbs at your heart space, and just activate once again your Reiki symbols by drawing them or thinking of them or saying their name out loud or in your mind, just imagining them and inviting them. You might even decide to sing or chant them if you're alone. But just spend a few moments inviting your Reiki symbols to join you today. And now I invite you to place your Reiki hands on your heart, giving yourself Reiki. And I invite you to imagine that it's a beautiful, warm, sunny day, and that you're walking down a path in a beautiful forest. And as you walk along and breathe into yourself, you breathe in the life essence of the forest. And with each step that you take, the energy of the earth flows up through the bottoms of your feet. And as you continue to walk along, notice the beauty of the forest around you, that it is filled with great cathedral trees. There's moss and animals of every kind, and everything is in its place. The animals all appear to get along very well, and I invite you to continue walking until you come to a tree that looks just right for you. And there's something about that particular tree that calls to you. And so you go over and you crouch down and you sit beside the tree, leaning your back up against it. And there's a bit of a hollow spot there. It almost feels like the tree embraces you, so that you feel very held and very secure and very connected to the earth. And the energy of the earth flows up through you. And yet, as you lean back against the tree, you can also feel the energy from the heavens coming down through the top of the tree, through the leaves, to you. And a beam of light begins to shine through the canopy of the trees. It shines directly upon you, and you recognize it right away that this is no ordinary light. It comes from the highest heaven, directly from the source of all that is. Place your hands comfortably on your body now, wherever you're guided, as we invite the energy to begin releasing the layers. Begin lifting the layers from our internal world. Think of some areas of your life that might not be coming through the filter of love, some of the areas of your life that you are not in flow with, that are not in accordance with your priorities, your ideas, or your ideals. We invite through the Reiki energy the discernment to know the difference. We invite the Reiki energy to give us the ability to shift our perspective. We'll spend a few moments in silence now, just breathing in the light of Reiki on your breath, and the beauty and the peace of this eternal forest as a divine light shines through you, restoring you. Because what you are at the core of your being, your truth is that you are love. And so we bring ourselves back to that space of love, willing to recognize and acknowledge our beauty and our joy, releasing any layers from our body that are not in alignment with love. That are attached to you or lingering that are not of you, energies you may be holding on behalf of others, we also release those now into the care of the divine circle of Reiki that surrounds us, where they will be listened to and heard and nurtured and healed all the way back to their original cause. We invite the release of clutter, our internal clutter, as well as our external, regardless of its source. Whether it's from this lifetime or other lifetimes, ancestral injury, DNA, the ways and worries of the world, any energies we may be holding on behalf of the collective consciousness, we release all energies and all clutter today, and we release them with and to love. And we thank these layers for what we have learned from them, from what they've taught us. They've been our teachers, and we wish them well on their journey. They're going to a place where they may be healed today as well. And we release the clutter of pain and of injury and trauma and illness and any residue or effects. And we let go of any promises or vows or curses or spells and any limiting beliefs which can also clutter our existence. And we let go of any time that we've believed ourselves to be anything less than magnificent, beautiful, powerful, joyful. Those beliefs that are limiting are false, and we prefer now the truth of who we are. Sometimes we may wonder, who are we to be beautiful and powerful and magnificent and filled with joy? But the true question is, who are we not to be? We are the children of God. The earth that surrounds us is filled with beauty and joy and peace and love. And as we release this clutter, we shift our perspective so that we can see that. We can exist in it. We can be in it. It becomes us. We are special, just like everyone else that exists on the planet. And as we step into our own magnificence, our brilliance, our power, our joy, our beauty, that is in accordance with our life purpose here on Earth. We all came here with a unique frequency, with unique talents and gifts, and our energy is needed on the planet at this time. We know that life as we know it, the planet, is going through a transformation. We have the opportunity to create the world that we want to live in, to be that change that we want to see in the world and maybe have always wanted to see. And so we focus on ourselves and our own corner. And as we step into our magnificence and brilliance, not only do we have an opportunity to accomplish our life purpose, our reason for being, our objective in being here, but we inspire others to do the same. Gandhi once said, the most important thing we can do for others is to inspire. Take a moment to think of who you would like to inspire. Think for a moment of who you are, the magnificence of living life on the earth, on being here at this moment in history. Think for a moment of how you can inspire others with your personality, your gifts, and your talents. Your enormous ability to love and to care and to assist others, assisting yourself. We invite the tree that's embracing you to show you a glimpse of your potential. And your heart opens to the field of possibilities that's all around you that you have made space for by releasing the clutter. And you begin to remember your true spirit, your purpose. Your plan. And think to yourself, who am I not to be? Magnificent. Take a moment to acknowledge and recognize your talents, your unique gifts, and your abilities. Each and every one of us has multiple opportunities every day to make a difference in the world. It's up to us to choose what we do with those opportunities. And as you release your internal clutter and begin to recognize who you are today, I invite you to embrace your magnificence. And if you're not ready to step into your full power, that's okay, but make a decision. How much of my power am I willing to step into today? What percentage? And it might be a small number, or it might be a large number. And with the assistance of Reiki, go ahead now and step into your power and your magnificence to the extent that you are willing to and able to today. And we take a moment now to just give thanks to Shanley and Karen for being here today and to connect with everyone, that great circle of light beings who are listening to the podcast. Knowing that we are not doing this alone and understanding that as we release this internal clutter, some of it that perhaps we were not even aware that was there, it will reflect in our outer world. And we invite the assistance of the beautiful angels and enlightened beings who are with us of the Reiki energy to assist us in continuing to release the internal and the external clutter so that we might move fully into our power and our life purpose, living in joy that is actually a sign or a signal that you are living according to your life purpose. We invite these energies, the enlightened beings and the Reiki energies, to assist us even and especially when we forget to ask. We take a moment now to say thank you, to acknowledge how deeply you love, to acknowledge your enormous heart and how much you care, recognizing that you are a light bringer, that you came to Earth to embody the Reiki ideals, kindness, gratitude, diligence in our work, embracing joy, releasing anger and worry and fear. We understand that we are blessed to be in the lineage of light bringers today who are creating wellness on the earth. And that always begins with us creating wellness within ourselves. I invite you to stay in this meditation as long as you feel guided to do so today. And whenever you're ready to come back, to bring your attention to your eyes, to take a deep breath and return back to the room. I want to thank you both, Shanley and Karen, for being here today. Namaste.